Sutra. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Father, for this wonderful moment. As we come to the presence to praise Thee and to glorify Thee and to worship Thee, Lord, we magnify Thy name and exalt it. And as we come into Thy presence as New Jerusalem Church, Heavenly Father, we pray that You would speak to us and strengthen us. Send Thy word from Thy throne, Father, the same word that commanded, "Let there be light," and there was light. The same word by which You fill the valleys and make them into mountains. The same word by which the mountains that stand in the path of Thy people get moved. The same word by which the Red Sea got split apart. The same word by which You gave manna from heaven. The same word by which You wiped out the Canaanites. The same word that You spoke on the cross of Calvary when You said, "It is finished." The same word that You said when You ascended up into heaven, saying, "In blessing I will bless You, and the same way that I went up will I also come back." And the same word that You spoke in the book of Revelation, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him that heareth say, 'Come.' Let him come, whoever is thirsty, and take of the water of life." Hallelujah. As we come into the presence, Father, as Thy word says, Lord, there is a river that flows from the throne of God that will satisfy the children of God. We pray, Father, that through Thy throne, from Thy throne, will come the river of the water of life that will flow into our life, that will flow into the lives of people that hear this message, and strengthen them and empower them and use them for Thy glory, Father. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the eternal Word of God, by which all things were created and all things have come to exist. John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." It is very important for us to understand in our Christian life where we were, what we are now, and what we will be in the future. Many times we forget where we were, what we are now, and what we will be in the future. And the reason we get distracted is because there is too much noise in this world. Just like a radio that you tune up to that Christian channel, and then there is some disturbance, the radio frequency, and the voice of God is not clear, and we have a tendency to get distracted. We were redeemed from corruptible things in this world through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, not with gold or silver or dollars, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ that is invaluable, that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. And through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, and through the power of the Holy Ghost, through our faith in Christ, we have become the sons of God. We just did not automatically become the sons of God, because anyone can say that he is a son of God. But God gave us the power and authority when we believed in Jesus Christ and received Him into our lives. God gave us power and authority to become the sons of God because we believed on His name, Jesus Christ. People say, "Well, why Jesus? You know, there are so many different names." But the name is important, because the Bible says, not to Allah or to Muhammad or to Krishna or to Buddha, but unto the name of Jesus Christ. God has given Him, Jesus, a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God. Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, And all these people, Sai Baba, all these people who call themselves and Confucius and Socrates and everyone that call themselves gods or great men or kings or queens, even Queen Elizabeth and Obama and everybody else will bow down at the feet of Jesus Christ. All creation, the sun and the moon and the stars and all the galaxies will bow down to Jesus Christ and proclaim Him God. They may not like to do it now. One day they will. But unto us who believed on Him in this world, even before the next world, right now has been given unto us the authority to become the sons of God. We need to understand very clearly that this is not through money, this is not through doing something, this is through faith in the Word of God. In the book of Revelation it says, John received this word, and this word has been given so you can hear and read and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Some people think that faith is an abstract thing that you think in the mind and the heart and it is done. Faith is a living life that is lived in accordance with the Word of God, with faith in God. Yes, Abraham had faith, but the promise did not come until his faith was tested. His faith was a living faith, and God said, if you really believe in me, that I will make you the father of many nations through your son Isaac, then offer your son Isaac a sacrifice on Mount that I will choose. Abraham could have thought, well, wait a minute. God said he is going to bring seed for me through Isaac, and Jesus is going to come through Isaac, and I'm going to be the father of many nations through Isaac. Well, it doesn't make any sense. Why is God asking me to kill Isaac? But Abraham believed that even if he offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God, and the fire came from God and accepted the sacrifice, through the ashes, God would raise up Isaac. And through him, he would be the father of many nations. And that is written in the book of Hebrews. That was the faith of Abraham. And before even Isaac was born, Abraham believed God. And when God said, if you believe in me, leave your land and your country and your relatives and go to the land that I show you. And Abraham, what did Abraham do? He didn't say, Lord, I believe in you. I have this great faith that makes wonders. He packed up and did exactly what God did. God did not tell him what land it was. God did not tell him where he was going. But he packed up and left. The same way we have forsaken the things of this world and the corruption of this world we have rejected. And we have come to the cross and accepted Jesus. And now that we have accepted Jesus at the cross of Calvary and believed in his blood, now it is our obligation and our duty, if we still believe in him, to act out our faith, because faith has to be alive. It cannot be dead. Because Jesus told those who had believed in me, if you abide in my word, then are you disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. So there are several key words in that verse. People heard the word of Jesus Christ and believed that he was the Messiah that was to come into the world. So Jesus said, that's wonderful. You've taken the first step. But you have to abide in my word, because as soon as you go home, your wife or kids or relatives or friends are going to say, oh, you know what, that sounds crazy. Word of God, what do you mean word of God? That doesn't make sense. It beats all logic. Scientists never believed in this stuff. Well, they're wrong, because the greatest scientist that ever existed that found the greatest findings were all believers. They all believed in God Almighty. Many of them even had dreams from God before they discovered earth-shattering secrets. And that is what we are experiencing now. So that faith will be tested. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in my word. What does the word abide mean? We plant a plant, we water it, and then it grows. And then the storm comes, the drought comes. That plant is tested. Not all plants become trees. Some plants that abide and grow in the nutrition provided in the ground and drink of the water of the Holy Spirit, drink the nutrition of the word from the soil, which is the Holy Bible, they grow to become a tree, and then they bear fruit, and through that fruit many people are blessed. So Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples. And the word disciple is very important. If we read Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. He didn't say, when they raise their hands and come forward, that's awesome. You got to get a return ticket and then come back. No, Jesus said, make them disciples. Preaching the word and people raising their hands and coming forward and saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, is very important. But that's the first step. But leaving them there to the wolves and taking the plane ticket back, that's not the ministry that Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew 28. He said, once you have preached to them, and this is in Matthew 28, he said, that's a great commission. But today what is being preached is not the great commission. What is being preached is the great omission. The commission starts with preaching the word of God, that Jesus Christ died for us and rose again. He shed his blood for our sins and he's coming back. And he's established the church. And then Jesus said, when you have preached this in Matthew 28 as part of the Great Commission, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and making them disciples, teaching them the word, establishing the church, making them disciples, teaching them the word of God. And then he said, instead of just giving birth to babies and dropping them on the road and going back in the return flight, if you nurture these babies to be adult men into the image of Lord Jesus Christ, then lo, I will be with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Now, I don't want to make fun of anyone, because everybody is trying to preach about Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. And that is good. That is wonderful. But many great evangelists that are so-called in society, I hear them saying, hey, I went to Indonesia. I went to Africa. I preached. And about 10 million raised their hands. And when I go back, I cannot find 25. Well, the reason is, we should not be caring about numbers. If Jesus cared about numbers, he would have hired 1 million disciples, but he had only 12 disciples, and one of them left him. Our duty is to make disciples of all nations. Not to count the hands that God raised up saying, I believe in Christ. Because the hands that raised up, unless we nurture them and build them and disciple them and start the church. And if you look at the Acts, that's how the ministry started. So let's go forth and try to understand in the Lord's presence why God is sharing with us John chapter 1 verse 12. According to Ephesians chapter 2, we were all the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were under the prince of this world, under the demons of darkness, and we were serving them. But God, in His mercy, for His great love, which by which He loved us, adopted us into His family, because we received Him by faith. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Not them that received Him into the living room and said, okay, you've been here for about an hour, it's kind of getting late, bye, figure your way back. No, receiving Him means He has access to every part of your house. He is a permanent guest. He is staying there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and allow me to come in, then I will stay with him, sup with him. Receiving Jesus Christ is an eternal matter. So now we were under the children of kingdom of darkness. We were the sons of the enemy, and God accepted us into His family by faith. We are today given the power to become the sons of God. That is why Apostle Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There is a family in heaven that has gone before. There is a family on earth that is worshiping God, and we are all part of the same family. Millions have gone before, and we are here, a handful of people worshiping God. So we are the family of God. So how has God confirmed that we are sons? Galatians 4:6. Because we received Jesus Christ, and we've been given the authority to become the sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, this Galatians 4:6 is a very important verse. Jesus Christ did not send the Spirit of Daniel or the Spirit of Max or the Spirit of Jose. I mean, He didn't take the Spirit of Max and Daniel and Jose and clean it up and send it back into us. No, Jesus, God the Father, took the Spirit of Jesus Christ that lived a perfect life on this earth and sent the Spirit of Jesus Christ to live in us so that we can call God our Father, Abba Father, just like Jesus called God Father. You know, when we call God Abba Father, what is happening is Jesus Christ, who lived on His earth, His Spirit. So many times Jesus said, my Father, my Father, my Father. And now that Spirit of Jesus Christ, the same Spirit in Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who on earth called God Father, now lives in us. And that's why we call God Father. And Jesus Christ, if we only had the chance to hear what the Spirit of Jesus that resides in us is saying, when we all come to church, the Spirit of Jesus Christ will be saying to God the Father, Father, I have brought my brothers to the church. I brought my brethren to the church to worship You. And as He says that, the Spirit of Jesus cries out, saying, Abba, Father. And when Daniel's spirit and Max's spirit and Jose's spirit sees the Spirit of Jesus in us crying, Abba, Father, our spirit also joins with the Spirit of Jesus in us and calls Him Father, Abba, Father. And our spirit and the Spirit of Jesus Christ becomes one. Ephesians 1:19-22 says, I desire that you may understand, and Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, what is the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe. It all starts with faith, belief, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So what this verse, Ephesians 1:19-22, stating is, the same power with which God raised Jesus Christ. That resurrection power on the third day that opened the grave, and there was a great earthquake and lightning, and Jesus rose up from the grave with a heavenly body, his earthly body transformed into a heavenly body, which we see in the book of Revelation chapter 1. That same power that raised Jesus Christ, we have also been raised by the same power. Then the question is, if we have been raised, where are we? We are exactly where Jesus is. When he raised him up from the dead, he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So today, the same power that raised Jesus has raised us up, and we are seated with Jesus Christ on thrones in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Our body, this flesh, might be walking on planet Earth, but our soul and spirit is not here. Amen. If someone looks at our soul and our spirit, it will be brighter than the sun. It will be like the book of Revelation. The woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars. If you want to know how Brother Max and Brother Jose and Brother Daniel's soul looks like and spirit looks like, then read book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 1, starting, "And I saw a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." That's how we look right now, and we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. The devil doesn't want us to believe who we are, how we look, and what power we have. We have the same power that the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost has, because the same power that raised Christ from the dead has raised us up. I remember once when my family had gone to India, and they called me back and said, "It's very hot here, like feels like 125 degrees. The kids have sores all over their body. There is no rain. Honey, please pray that God will send rain and cool it off." So I got up at early in the morning and I said, "Lord, where my kids and family are, it's really hot. They are suffering, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, please send rain, cool it off." And then I heard God telling me, "Why don't you do it? Why are you asking me?" I said, "Lord, what do you mean?" He said, "Command, raise your hands and command the rain. Command that it be cool." I said, "Okay, Lord, sure." And I commanded, wherever they are, 15,000 miles apart, I commanded that it rain and it become cool. And that afternoon, I got a message back from my wife saying, "Honey, it is really a miracle. There is so much rain and it's become so cool. But the rain is so much, you know, please pray that the rain will stop, because it's continuing to rain a lot and we don't want to get flooded up." And then I told the Lord, and the Lord said, "Command. It is in the power of your tongue, because I live inside you and I commanded." And same thing happened this time. So 10 years later, my wife goes to another place where her sisters are. And she said, "We live in the jungle. We don't have any city water. All the water we have is from a tank that is on the roof that gets filled with rain. And it hasn't rained for a month. We are about to go dry. And if we don't have water, we cannot live." So I went and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said the same thing. "Command the rain." And when I commanded in the name of Jesus Christ and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as the Church of the Living God, New Jerusalem, my wife wrote back in the afternoon saying, "It has rained so much that it is flooding. Everywhere there's rain." And she showed me the river that used to be like a trickle. And, you know, I can, if I find that photograph, I can send that photo, that video. And she said, "Here's the river that's flowing. And this is how it was yesterday." And so God is reminding us that He raised us up to be seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the same power with which God raised Christ from the dead, the same power has raised us. And we are seated together in heavenly places, Ephesians 1, 19-22, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. God has raised us up far above all power and authority of the darkness and of this world, and hath put all things under His feet and our feet. And God gave Jesus Christ to be head over all things to the church, and we are His bride. And so there's no point in saying, Lord, why didn't You crush Satan? You bury him. You take care of these demo rats. Well, God has already put all of them under our feet, and His will alone will be fulfilled. This is further Ephesians 2 verses 4-7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead with sins, hath He quickened us together in Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together. You know, God didn't just raise up Christ and say, well, let's wait till the rapture, these guys have to suffer a little bit. No. When God raised up Christ, God, who always does things before it happened, had already, this happened 2,000 years back. When Jesus Christ was raised up, we were also raised up. And what God did, it is happening now, because God doesn't wait till it happens. He does it before it happens. And that's why God told Abraham, and he didn't even have a child, I have made you a father of many nations. Not I will make you in the future tense, but in the past tense. For God, everything is past tense. Because that's the way He thinks. And that's why the children of Israel couldn't please God in the wilderness. Because they were living in the future tense. God was living in the past tense. But Abraham understood God and was called a friend of God because he believed in the things that God told him before it happened, which had never happened. Even a molecule of Isaac hadn't been formed. But God said, I have made thee a father of many nations, and you will name your son Isaac. And Abraham believed in God. Even so, 2,000 years back, God raised us up to be seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. All the blessings and riches and glory and eternal righteousness is through Christ Jesus. And here's what Jesus says about us in Hebrews 2 verses 10-18. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, referring to the Father, God, to make the captain of their salvation, Jesus Christ, perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. We are the ones that are being sanctified. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, are the ones that sanctify us. But we are all one, even as Jesus Christ prayed, that they may be one, we are all one. And it says, for which cause? Because we are one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and God is our Father. Jesus says, for which cause Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus is our elder brother, eldest brother, and we are brothers. Second Hebrews 10-18. And Jesus is saying, I will declare thy name. He's praying to the Father. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So what happens when we, you know, Brother Max and Jose and Brother Daniel gathered together to worship God. Jesus Christ comes in our midst and merges with us and becomes one with us, and all four of us start worshiping God. Because that's what happened in the flame. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the flame, worshiping God, going up and down. And the fourth man, Jesus Christ, walked among them. And King Nebuchadnezzar put his hand to his head and he said, well, someone get me some binoculars, let me see what's going on. And he said, wow, I put only three persons in the fire, and there's a fourth person with them, and all four of them are praising and glorifying and worshiping God and walking in the fire, and there is no harm, and the form of the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Even so, now when we worship God, it's not the three of us worshiping God. We are worshiping God with Jesus Christ, who calls God Father, and us, His brethren. And again, Hebrews 2:10 to 18 says, and again I will put my trust in Him. And again Jesus says, behold, I, the Son of God, and the children which God hath given me. We are God's treasure. We are God's inheritance. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We had flesh and blood, and Jesus didn't have to do it. But He was born among us as flesh and blood, that through His death He might destroy the devil that had the power of death. And now Jesus Christ has the keys of hell and death and the keys of life forevermore. The power and authority that Amy had, the devil had, everything has been taken out. He's powerless. And now, this is what Romans 8:29 says. For whom He did foreknow, or God had foreknowledge. Some people say, you know, God made us accept Jesus because He likes us, and then prevented other people from accepting Jesus. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, God wants everyone to repent.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ shed His blood for every single soul. Jesus shed His blood for Hitler and Mussolini and Obama and Hillary and everybody else. And even that emperor, evil emperor Nero. But in eternal foreknowledge, God knew who are the people that are going to accept Him. And so because He already knew that Brother Daniel, Jose, and Max are going to accept Him, in past eternity He wrote our names in the book of life and predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, because He knew that we would be obeying and accepting His firstborn. And because God knew eternally in the past that we would accept Him, God chose us to be His children, because He knew we'll be faithful. That's why He says in John, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. But remember, when He called, the disciples didn't say, oh, my leg, if it is God's will, why don't you go ahead and move? No, they made a sincere decision to follow Jesus Christ. They left the boat, they jumped out, followed Him, suffered with Him. So Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God knew us, God predestinated us, and God planned us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, we have to stop for a moment and understand what the image of his son means. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, Apostle John saw Jesus Christ. We also know that Apostle Paul saw Jesus Christ. When he saw Jesus, it was so bright that in a fraction of a second when he saw Jesus, the face of Jesus was brighter than the midday sun. And Apostle Paul, Saul, became blind. That is the glory that Jesus had. His face like eyes like fire, and his feet like polished brass. And that is the image to which we have been predestined. We are not going to look like Prince Harry or the princes and the kings of this world or King Nebuchadnezzar. We are going to look like the glorious God Almighty who created the world, Jesus Christ. So why is all this important? If you observe slowly, walk through the woods, you can hear the trees crying. If you walk through the woods, you can hear the animals crying. If you go to the mountains, you can hear the rocks wailing. If you look at the people of this world, people are crying. That is written in Romans 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. All creation is groaning. The sun and the moon and the stars are groaning. Sometimes I hear my Great Pyrenees dogs. I live in a farm. They are crying in the night. Well, you know, they have company. Why are they crying? All creation, Romans 8, 19. All the galaxies, the sun and the moon and the stars, planet Earth, the trees, the woods, the rocks, the stones, the plants, the animals, all creation are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, we are the sons of God. If we are here, what are they waiting for? They are waiting not for the sons of God, but for the manifestation of the sons of God. They are waiting for the time when Jesus Christ will come with his bride, the church, which who are the sons of God in all their glory, looking like Jesus Christ, and take over planet Earth and run the galaxies. When we come back with Jesus Christ as the bride, the church of the living God, all the mayors, all the governors, all the presidents, all the kings and queens, and all the bankers and everybody is going to be fired. The first thing that is going to be happening is all the authorities in this world are going to be laid off. That's the first thing Jesus Christ is going to do. And he's going to appoint his children, presidents and rulers and mayors and authorities and bankers of this world, and we are going to rule for 1,000 years. That's when this cobra will play with the lion, and there won't be any evil on this earth. But the people that got taken by surprise when Jesus and his church came to establish the kingdom will still not be saved, because their time for salvation is over, because they didn't accept when the days of grace were there. Now they have to keep their mouth shut and accept the authority of Jesus Christ. Where they previously blasphemed and said, no, we don't want Christians, we want to wipe out Christians, we don't want Jesus. Now it's too late. Jesus Christ and his church, the people that they despised, now have the authority. And Jesus Christ and his church are going to rule the world with all authority. and bring peace on this planet and blessings on this planet, and the unbelievers will enjoy it for 1,000 years, after which the devil will be loosed from hell and will come back and deceive them, and they will war against Jesus Christ and his church, and fire will come from God out of heaven and consume them, and this earth and heaven will run and the galaxies will run, because the God the Father will sit on a white throne, and judgment will start, and Jesus Christ and his church will sit with God the Father and will judge Lucifer and all his hosts and all that ever lived on this planet. Even the animals will be judged for shedding the blood of man, according to the word of God. And that is what all creation is waiting for. They are waiting for the time when Jesus Christ and the Church of the Living God will be seated at the right hand of God the Father. That manifestation is what all creation is waiting for. It also says that in the book of Daniel, "And I saw the Ancient of Days, and the Antichrist was bound, and the beast and the false prophet, and they were thrown in the lake of fire. And I saw the Ancient of Days sit, and judgment was started, and the books were open, and the saints possessed the kingdom under the heavens and over the heavens. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Why? Because it was told to creation, this vanity and this pain and this suffering will last until Jesus Christ and his brethren are seated upon throne at the right hand of God. And when they are seated, all this curse will depart. Everything will be cleaned up. And there will be new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But before all that happens, certain things have to happen. You know, when we die, or I believe that we will live until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but when people who are really rich, they know they're going to die, they create a will so that when they die, all the riches and inheritance goes to their children. Their estate goes to their children. Similarly, there is a book at the right hand of the throne of God. That book has 7 seals. In that book, God the Father is handing over the entire universe to Jesus Christ and the Church of the Living God. In other words, God the Father is handing over the authority to take over and rule the entire universe to man. But man, how can man take over the universe and rule over the universe? That is God. He created the universe. Only God can rule over the universe. But God has decided that his children, men, who came of flesh and blood, should rule over the universe and the galaxies. He is giving away everything. God the Father is giving away everything. He's going to live forever, but he's giving away everything to man. So there is a voice, an angel shouts, "In this great universe that God has created, is there anyone who is worthy to get hold of the book at the right hand of the Almighty who liveth forever, and to break the 7 seals thereof?" And he cries out with a great shout. And no man was found in the universe that had the power and authority to take the book. Noah, a man, a godly man, he couldn't. Abraham couldn't. David couldn't. And many, many, many men of God, greatest men of God, even Joseph and Daniel, they couldn't. And then Apostle John started crying. And then when he started crying, an angel told him, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah has won the victory. Do not cry, John. a man by the name of Jesus, who was of flesh and blood, a man, he has won the victory. And Jesus Christ got up from the base of the throne, from between the 24 elders and the four beasts, and God the Father, whose face was like jasper, whom nobody can approach without his permission, lest they be consumed, a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes stood up and took the book out of the will for man, the children of God, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And Revelation 5, 7, 9 to 10 and 13, all this is written. And the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the man, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when Jesus Christ, the man, took that book, everybody in the universe sang a song saying, Jesus, thou art worthy, O man of God, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every tongue and kindred and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. All the saints in glory and on this earth, and all the creatures, could not sing this song and make this proclamation that thou wast slain and we were redeemed by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation that's made us unto our God kings and priests. They could not make the proclamation, we shall reign on the earth, until Jesus took the will. And the will was broken, the seal was broken, the power and authority was given to Jesus Christ and the church, and the worship started and creation praised God. And that is why in Revelation 22:4, this verse is there. And they, the church of the living God, children of Almighty God, shall see the face of the Father, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We need to understand that nobody in past, present, or future will be able to see the face of the Father. We have been washed by the blood of Jesus, sealed by the Holy Spirit. There's an angel that says, don't bring trouble on this earth. We don't care about what happens on this earth until we have sealed the servants of our God upon their foreheads. Even if it's an earthquake or a nuclear attack, our forehead, our faces, and our body, soul, and spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Even nuclear energy will pass away from us because we are sealed by the power of God, and Holy Spirit, God and Father are much more powerful than the power in an atomic bomb. And therefore, we are sealed and nobody can see the face of the Father. But a time is coming in glory when we will look like Jesus. We will be like Jesus. We will have the authority that Jesus has given unto us. We will be his bride. And we will be one with the Blessed Trinity. And at that point, we alone can see the face of the Father. And the Father's name will be on our foreheads, because he is our Father and his name belongs to us. You know, my kids have the name Christos, and Jesus has the Father's name. And because we are married to Jesus Christ, we are sons and daughters of Almighty God. Jesus Christ is our elder brother, and we have the name of the Father. What does it mean? It means that when the angels and millions of people that are going to be living in future eternity see us, they will see the Father's name on our foreheads. That is the greatness and the height to which anyone can get exalted, and that is the maximum promotion that anyone can attain, to look like Jesus and to have the Father's name written on our foreheads. I remember going to heaven, but it was in a dream, not in full power and glory. I saw Jesus Christ and I saw God the Father, and it was immediate instinct for me to know that this is my Father, and I wanted to hug him. Not in all the glory, because if I had seen God the Father in all his glory, I would have completely melted into vacuum. But one day we will see him in all his glory face to face, and we will be with Jesus. May the Lord bless these words. Let us look forward to that glory and that honor and riches and blessing. We are the greatest in all of the creation. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God, and we are bride of the Son of God. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us so we might understand the grace of God that has been given to us for free through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the word that is being proclaimed through the church. Let us remember where we were, where we are now, and where we will be for all eternity. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us. Closing with John chapter 1. And to those that accepted him, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And the last was Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face, and our Father's name, the Eternal One, God Almighty's name, shall be inscribed on our foreheads. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us and empower us to walk worthy of this calling, and not to get discouraged with the things that are happening now.